You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 192. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing for me, but happy birthday to you, my friend. Here's a toast to you. It's not whiskey. I don't have any whiskey in the house, apparently.
Oh.
So I'm drinking Grand Marnier, so hurrah.
Okay.
It's like a liqueur.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to join you. I have a spiked seltzer tonight. I'm going Truly. I just got home from work, so I wasn't in a whiskey mood. I'm usually a whiskey guy, but just going with a spiked seltzer. Yeah, I am now 1 year away from becoming a UFA. I'm in the back half of my 20s, which is a little scary. Now I surpassed 25. I'm in the second half of the 20s. It's a little scary, Mitch.
It's a contract year, buddy. You better pick it up, all right?
I know. This is big for me. We no more RFA years. I'm hitting like the real deal free agency next year. It's big.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be, I don't know why, but I know you're turning 26, and I thought today was the 26th. Rude awakening for Mitch today when I saw, I was like, hey, it's Matt's champagne birthday. And I was like, nope, we're 5 days away from the 26th, my friend.
Amazing. Love that. So yeah, I worked today, but I am doing two of my favorite things. One, having a drink with a good friend, and two, talking about the New York Islanders.
Before we get to the New York Islanders, though, we have to talk about our sponsor, which is Mindful Health LLC. So this podcast is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Food line's Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you're doing something good for your body. Love it. The chocolate and doing something good? Sign me up.
Done.
We start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then we blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's good for you, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, oh, that has my mouth watering already, cinnamon and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. The result? Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing your inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it's friendly to paleo, gluten-free like you, my friend.
Let's go.
Keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. When I went vegan, this would have been helpful, but I lasted 2 weeks. Cheese pizza killed me. I couldn't give up cheese pizza.
No.
For the last 8 years, we have been a leader in the superfoods market and are proud to have served millions of customers worldwide. We are offering up to 15% off when you use code MINUTE15 at earthechofoods.com/minutemedia. So that's earthechofoods.com/minutemedia using promo code MINUTE15 to get your own. Whenever you buy whatever they're selling, for this specifically, they're talking about a chocolate mix to make a smoothie type of a drink.
That sounds, one, incredibly tasty, two, incredibly healthy. I'm in on both. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm super down. The fact that they got the Himalayan sea salt in there, I'm already sold.
That sounds...
Big salt guy.
Oh, I love salt. I know it's awful for you, but gotta love salt.
Absolutely.
So let's get into it, Mitch. We have a lot to get to, and the Islanders have a gigantic, cannot stress it enough, gigantic series coming up. 3 games against the Washington Capitals. As it stands, as we're recording this today, both teams have 62 points at the top of the division. Like, this will probably decide who is coming in first in the division. There's a very good chance that this, how this plays out, will decide who comes in first in the division.
Yeah, because once it's done, there are 7 games left on the season. That's it.
Yeah, that went quick, too, by the way.
That's true. Well, that's what happens when it's 56 games, I guess.
Also
and,
true.
Like, you have no breaks at all.
It's like every day.
The only other break they had outside of this 3-day one that's of any consequence happened because Buffalo caught COVID from New Jersey.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, good point.
So I for the Patreon, so shameless plug, patreon.com/eyesonisles to get all your Islander recaps, chats, discussions, predictions, so on and so forth. For that, I do a weekly what I call back check, forecheck. That wasn't something I came up with. It's something a patron came up with. I believe it's D-Pins. Thank you for that. Anyways, and that's a look back at last week and look forward to this week. So we looked at this week and the Washington Capitals and how the Islanders have played against them throughout the series. I'm going to read you off the tail of the tape and you tell me what stands out the most, all right?
Okay.
The record for the Islanders against the Washington Capitals this season and this season only, 2-3-0. Goals for, 3. Goals against, 3.20. Power play, 16.7%. Penalty kill, 50%. Shots on goal, 31.6. Shots against, 26.6. What stands out there?
I'm going to say the 3 goals scored. That seems very off for this team. No, the 50% on the penalty kill is a huge red flag, Mitch. Like, screaming red flag. As you're going through, I'm like, okay, like all these seem to make sense. 50% on the PK, not going to cut it. And unfortunately, it seems the Washington Capitals have figured out that if you bother Matthew Barzal, he is going to do something stupid. Or if you bother Scott Mayfield, he is going to do something stupid. And guess what? More often than not, the Islanders find themselves in the box. And as we know, painfully, the Washington Capitals have a phenomenal power play and they take advantage.
Nail on the head multiple times. They've done it since the playoffs, and we've said it multiple times already. It's not even a Peter Laviolette thing anymore, right? Because Peter Laviolette wasn't there in the playoffs. Like, they know how to disrupt the Islanders and get under their skin, and they do it, and they... My God, why do we fall for this every dumb time? We've played them 5 times now this year, going into game number 6. We played them 5 times in the playoffs. That's 10 times over the last, 7, 8 months? Figure it out, boys.
Yeah.
Don't take dumb penalties.
No, and it's like very clear what they're trying to do. They are trying to get under the Islanders' skin, and it works. But wouldn't you think at the same time, like, if it's so obvious to us, wouldn't you figure Barry'd be like, hey, can we calm down, please? Like, can we just take it down a notch?
I think he has. Like,
I'm sure.
He talks about often, I think against the Rangers even, they mentioned on the broadcast that Barry had his arm over Matthew Barzal to, like, chill him out a bit. And it doesn't work against the Capitals. It just doesn't. Hey, look, it's never worked for Matthew Barzal, right? Playing the puck in the penalty box, that was against the Capitals.
That's true. Wow, you're right. That is true.
So, like, he's always had this thing for the Capitals. And then the puck in the box thing, that was starstruck. He said it himself.
Yep.
That isn't the case anymore. You can no longer be starstruck. I get that Alexander Ovechkin is a great player.
Of course.
And you idolize him. Who wouldn't?
Legend.
But you've got to figure it out. Like, you're 4 now. You've got to figure this out.
I know.
He's not going anywhere.
No, and that's just the thing. Like, it can't be the same thing over and over and over again. And that's kind of how I feel with, like, we could say the same thing with Anthony Beauvillier, because they both came up at the same time, same draft class, same age. And something that has plagued both of them is with Barzal, it's the sometimes getting in the habits of the taking dumb penalties, and you're just like, you're just too hot under the collar. Can you relax a little? And with Beauvillier, he is just massively streaky. For 5 years in a row now, he is so up and down, you can't figure out what this guy is. So at some point, you have to change that in both of them. And Barzal's is probably, I was going to say they're both fixable, but Barzal's is probably a little bit more fixable, because that's strictly a mental thing. With Beauvillier, maybe there's a mental aspect involved of the streakiness, but not getting frustrated and hitting someone with a stick seems like something that can be worked on.
Within what, like 6 minutes of the game, was it?
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, how can we possibly be this bothered and this mentally rattled right away?
I don't get that either. So I was tippy-tapping away there because I'm trying to look. All I can think about is Evgeny Malkin, right? Superstar level player. Easily rocked, right? And by rocked, I mean, like, you can get under his collar and you can get under his head and in his head by getting under his skin and getting him off his game. And I'm trying to look at his penalty minutes, and, like, they have gone down over the last little bit. Like, he's been trending towards the 80s Actually, they haven't really. That was not at all true. Like he's got a couple years here between 2012 and 2016, where he's going like 30, 60, 65 penalty minutes. And you're going, all right, that's kind of high, but it's not as high as, let's say, 80 or 100 penalty minutes that he took in 2009, 2010, right? Like keeping him out of the box is important. And it seems that the Penguins have been able to kind of lower him into the 70 penalty minutes a year range. Matthew Barzal right now is trending towards even more than that, right? He's got like 38 penalty minutes on the year. Yeah. 38 penalty minutes. His high is, sorry, that's not true. 42 penalty minutes. His season high or career high is 46.
Okay, so 40. He's got 42 in 46 games then.
Yes.
Okay, can we do quick math and see what that is paced out over 82?
We can absolutely do that. 42 divided by 46 times 82, 74.8. So round that up to 75.
That's too high.
That's way too high. Right? That's almost, maybe not double, but it is getting close
basically,
to double territory
it's
from his career high.
Right. What'd you say his career high was? 36?
46.
Oh, 46. Okay. Yeah. That. No, not good.
No, that has to change, right? Like, you can't. Of course, he's got a 10-minute major in there, or not a major, but game misconduct. Right. So that's not helping already. And he probably shouldn't have earned that one, but it is what it is. But you're right. Like, that is certainly more fixable than saying, like, hey, Bo, can you stop being streaky? Oh, okay, le coach va le faire. Like, it doesn't flip like that. It's right. Not like, here's some poutine, Bo. Oh, cool. I'm having more fun now.
Exactly. Yeah, even though we wish it was maybe that easy. But that's the thing. And that, to me, is my biggest fear, I guess, when looking at this Washington Capitals team. Because, I mean, obviously, they matched up well against them in the playoffs last year. The rosters haven't changed dramatically. One way, well, I mean, they did make that trade at the deadline. Both teams made moves at the deadline, but I would say they're both atop the division. Like, these are both two very good teams, which that hasn't changed. I thought the same thing last year as well. So they shouldn't be putting themselves in this position where they are taking penalties, because as we clearly see by the numbers you so greatly laid out there for us, that is the massive outlier. Everything else seems pretty on par for where the Islanders usually are, except for maybe the goals against, but that probably has to do with taking a bajillion penalties.
That certainly doesn't help things. The power play percentage at 16.7 is low, but I don't blame you for not batting an eye on that, because they haven't necessarily been good on the power play all year long. Right, like it just hasn't been a thing. They have that one little stretch after that COVID break we mentioned earlier where they were on fire, and then for some reason they forgot whatever the hell they were doing at that point.
Yeah, exactly. It just seemed like the light switch went off and they just have not been able to find it ever since. So the 16, that number wasn't really even that. It's bad, but it wasn't jarring for me. But the 50 is what really jumped out.
Yeah, that's the one that jumps out, because like you said, it's not only jumping out because like, oh man, that's low. It's because you can immediately attach a narrative to that sticks, right? Like you rightfully pointed out, they rattle our cage, they get under our skin, and then they get on the power play and they win. Just by looking at that number, you've now filled all the entire gap of the story that is the New York Islanders against the Washington Capitals, and that has to change. That one there, that one number just needs to tick upwards. When you look at any other team that they play against this year, it's not even close. They have like 94% efficiency on the penalty kill against the Rangers, for example.
There
who
you
are
go.
A great team on the power play,
of
but
course.
They don't seem to have a problem. But when it comes to the Washington Capitals, forget about it.
Something that has me feeling good going into this three-game set is that both goalies are playing tremendous right now. So that, I think, would help mitigate some of those issues if the penalties continue to go up. Or stay where they were, rather.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that's the case for the Washington Capitals. I'm just trying to bring it up here. Last five games for Samsonov, 750, 897, 875, and 867 win against the Philadelphia Flyers, whatever, and an 880 save percentage. Like, those
wow.
are his last five games. Things and goals against, 6, 4, 4, 1, 3. Things are not going well for Ilya Samsonov in net.
No, absolutely not. That's brutal.
So he's still winning, though, right? Like, they won three of those five games, but they're only winning because their team can score goals, which is obviously going to happen.
Of course.
But if we can limit their ability to get on the power play, we have a really good chance.
Right. I think toe-to-toe, the Islanders can go toe-to-toe with anyone at 5-on-5. It's when they do stupid things to themselves.
Yeah, which Barry Trotz knows, right? And that's the extra maddening part here is that, like, you've got the guy who was there who figured it out for them now on our bench, and it's like, this guy, I don't know, guys. I don't know that Ovi's going to take that slapper from there. I don't know how to stop it, even though I helped design that being more effective.
Yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating, but I do, like you said, if Samsonov is pitching those numbers against the Islanders, I think they're probably winning more times than they're losing, just because they're not going to be letting in 4, 5, 6 goals. It's very, very rare that they do that. Maybe they'll have a clunker in the 3 games, but more likely than not, they'll be holding an opponent to 3 goals or less.
Right. And so now it may not be that he's in net either, right? Like, Vitek Vanacek has been playing very well over the year, but recently that hasn't been the case, right? Like, you look at his last 5 games, 9.74, great. 9.09, not so good. 9.71. And then his last two, 8.10, 8.15.
Yeah, so you have 2 very good, 1 okay, and 2 bad.
Right? Like 1, 3, 1, 4, 5. Those are goals against over his last 5. And that's trending towards today, right? Like, the first one I read was April 16th. The last one is April 18th. Like, things aren't going well for them in nets either. They're getting bailed out hard by their ability to put up enough goals.
Right.
But on a defensive tough team, like, or a defensive minded team like the Islanders, that might not be the case.
Exactly. So I guess it's a good thing that the Islanders offense kind of found themselves a little bit against the Rangers, putting up 6 on Tuesday night. So hopefully that continues. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to put up 6 goals. That's just ridiculous. They're not built that way. But if the offense could just be competent, because for what, like the last week and a half before that, the offense was dead. Then that,
yeah, they had like 1 5-on-5 goal over like 7 periods.
Yeah, it was brutal. So if they could just be competent offensively and not kill themselves and putting themselves in bad positions, like taking dumb penalties, then I think they have a very good chance to take, maybe 2 out of these 3.
Yeah, I would favor them for 2-3 just with the way that they're going into this matchup now. But we'll see. Again, like, the penalty and the power play is, sorry, playing a disciplined game is going to change the outcome of this entire thing.
Of course. That, to me, is the biggest key. And we hit on that a lot in this segment, but that's what stands out the most because, as we said, 5-on-5, this team is good, very good. The goalie play has been phenomenal. They just have to be, like, semi-consistent offensively. They can't be anemic like they were for a week and a half, and they should probably be okay.
Absolutely, 100%.
So with that, shall we get into some of the lineups now, maybe, and talk about how Barry's changed that around a little bit?
Absolutely. Which one do you want to start with?
That's a good one. I guess we can start. Let's start up top and talk about the different rotations that's been going on with Matthew Barzal. So he's kind of been playing with Travis Zajac, who has taken some center responsibility. So that's been a little bit different, I guess, for Barzal, who usually is more so of the center on these lines. But what's your take overall on how that's worked so far?
Well, when I look at the numbers, they have 32 minutes of time on ice over 6 games. Corsi's 50%, expected goals for at 52.7, scoring chances 40, high danger chances 44. Those are all percentages. It's not great, right? Like, that's supposed to be your top line. When Matthew Barzal and Jordan Eberle are away from Travis Zajac, so having anyone else there, that includes Anders Lee, mind you, there's 438 minutes of time on ice, 56% Corsi for, 58% shots for, expected goals for 62, scoring chances 58, high danger 67. Like, there's a clear, there's a clear difference when Travis Zajac is there and when he isn't. And this isn't necessarily to say, like, Travis Zajac is the problem. It's not really. But it's clearly not working, and something needs to change there.
What would your change be? Is it Kyle Palmieri up there?
I want to, but I know Barry Trotz isn't going to do it, because he would have done it by now. He's not going to do it. He thinks rightfully so, because he's an NHL coach with a Stanley Cup ring. He feels that he needs that kind of like crash and bang type of player to play along Matthew Barzal to open up space. I don't necessarily think so, because you've got a guy in Matthew Barzal who already opens up a ton of space. You need a guy to take advantage of that space to then draw a defender away. Because you put Leo Komarov out there, they go like, cool, we're not even going to cover him. We don't care what he's doing. We're going to put two guys at Matthew Barzal.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. He walked into the slot and didn't take a shot the other night. He passed to the point instead.
It was so stupid.
I know.
I don't understand. You're right there, Leo. I know maybe it's not like super high danger opportunity and maybe you don't have the clearest shot, but you're in a high danger area. You don't send it back when all of these bodies are getting it. God, Jesus, Murphy. Well put. Absolutely. Good. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, no, totally. So I think I agree with you. As much as I would love to put Kyle Palmieri up there, I don't think that's going to change. I think they're going to continue to roll with Travis Zajac up there. But I will say, I really thought, and I know it was only one game, but I did think the reunion of Bo, Nelson, and Bailey went very, very well.
100%. Like, it has gone very well. Like, they don't have a lot of time on ice together. I'm just trying to bring it up. Of course, the time on ice that I'm talking about here is all 5-on-5, and this is all thanks to Natural Stat Trick. Why am I blanking on who's next? I'm missing Josh Bailey, winner of the Josh fight, although that's only in 3 days. So he's still got time to get geared up for that.
What is this?
What rock have you lived under? Is there a rock on top of Hempstead or like entire Nassau County right now?
The Josh fight?
Yes. Okay. So this is an internet thing where like this one guy found a bunch of Joshes, Sent them a message saying we meet here on this day and fight, and whoever wins gets to be called Josh. Everyone else has to change their name. And that's in 3 days.
Oh, so that's why I've seen a bunch of memes with like Joshes going around, but I didn't understand the context. Okay. I do know something, another April 24th thing that we're just going to not talk about because that's awful, awful, awful.
Okay, yeah, let's not go there. So back to the R Josh, that is Josh Bailey. They have 15 minutes of ice time together over 33 games played. That's this year. Corsi for 54, shots for 61, expected goals for 81, scoring chances 72, high danger 100.
Okay. There you go.
That is a good offensive line. That is a good line that's going to put you, that's going to generate something. Of course, again, 15 minutes and 58 seconds of time on ice. That's not a lot.
No. Of course, it isn't. It is not a lot. But you would think that when those three guys are playing to their potential, because we know that especially, well, I was going to say two out of the three, but really three out of the three are very streaky players.
Yeah, and you mix that together and you get kind of like, because Barry Trotz said something interesting again in the post game after the Rangers game, where he's talking about how like essentially his philosophy and the three elements that he's looking for when it comes to line matching. And he's got like essentially skill, intelligence, and physicality, right? And you have most of that there. You've got the skill of Anthony Beauvillier. You've got the intelligence of Josh Bailey. And then like the physicality, I'm saying with Jean-Gabriel Pageau, it's like the sheer determination, the heart and guts, if you will, is Jean-Gabriel Pageau on the line. Mind you, like it's not just like a Leo Komarov hearts and guts. It's that plus skill. So you've got skill and hearts and guts, and then intelligence. You've got the making of a good line there.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. And Pageau, he can do a little bit of everything. So that's why that's like super exciting to see.
And so it worked against the Rangers, right? Like that's most of their ice time here in the 15-58 that I'm quoting comes against the Rangers. I'm just wondering, like if I do a game log, thank God for Natural Stat Trick where I can find this stuff out, like to see where they've got most of their ice time. Like a lot of it is a couple of seconds here, a couple of seconds there. They got a minute against the Bruins in a 7-2 win. So obviously that's going to boost their numbers.
Right.
And then seconds until it gets down to 10 minutes and 4 seconds against the Rangers last night.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so that obviously makes a little bit more of a mark, the 10 minutes there.
But let's just say this. The two games that they had a lot of ice time together, the Islanders won 7-2 and 6-1. Just saying.
So you're saying that they should do more of that?
Yeah, they will punk the rest of the NHL for the 10 games and then win the Stanley Cup on that line alone.
Perfect. Love that. What about obviously, we know the fourth line is going to stay the same, except for like Cal Clutterbuck's out right now, and Leo Komarov has stepped in, and he's been fine. Actually, do you want to talk about Leo Komarov on that line maybe a little bit briefly?
Perfect. That's the perfect place for him. If you're going to play Leo Komarov, put him on the fourth line. You said it before, right?
Yes. I Leo Komarov on a fourth line, fine. Anything more than that, I do not care for. And to me, and I, who was it, Rimsey, who tweeted that at us? The Patreon member?
I believe so. Yes, it was Rimsey.
Okay.
He wanted us to talk about that.
Yeah. So I said to him, and I'll say it again on the podcast, to me, him and Kyle Clutterbuck are the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other. I'm okay with either one of those guys in that spot. With Clutterbuck out and Leo there, I think that's fine. That line can still work.
It's like multiverse Spider-Man. They are Spider-Man, but they're different kind of Spider-Man, right? Like, they do things differently, although they're the same.
Yeah, yes, they do things differently, but to get to the same place.
Right, like, I think you mentioned, like, he's not going to go, being Leo Komarov, that is, going to go and put up, like, 300 hits over the year. No. But he'll go and he'll get under someone else's skin, and that'll be just as effective. He'll still use his body. He'll still do that, but it won't be a human battering ram. It's going to be more like, you know, death by a thousand cuts.
Yes, exactly. So still getting to the same point in the agitator role, just doing it in different ways.
Yeah, just like lame uncle jokes left, right, and center. That's all he's laying out there, just irritating people. Like, oh, I heard that one already. Barely working, or oh, it's Mondays, right? I hate this so much.
Damn you, Leo.
Uncle Leo.
My last thing for you on the lines, and then we can get into anything else you want to talk about lines. How do you get Oliver Wahlstrom back into the lineup?
That's tough. Because you're right, you got your top line now is going to be, well, we haven't figured out what to do with our top line. We essentially got to the point where you're not putting Travis Zajac up there, but the only other option is putting Leo Komarov, because we know what Barry Trotz wants to do. So I guess we've talked ourselves into Travis Zajac then?
Yes, correct.
Okay, then your second line is going to be, let's say, Bo, Pageau, and Bailey, right?
Okay.
And then your third line, I guess that's where you put him in. And you have, I suppose, Kyle Palmieri on the left, Brock Nelson, Oliver Wahlstrom.
I can get by with that.
The only thing why I'm hesitant is I'm going, who's taking the shots? You got three guys that are volume shooters on the same line. That's like putting, I'm not much into basketball, but I know a little bit of basketball, but like, not enough, apparently. I forgot his name. God, jeez, the guy who could like finish the season averaging a triple-double.
James Harden? Russell Westbrook?
Yes. You put Russell Westbrook and, I can't even pronounce his name properly, and Kevin Harden on the same team and whatever else volume shooter you want, it just doesn't work. And they tried that, right? They ended up on the same team and it still didn't work.
You said Kevin Harden.
Did I really?
James Harden.
Yes, sorry.
They were on the same team.
I don't know why I said Kevin Hart. That wasn't even close to what I was thinking.
That was so funny. Oh my God.
I even had James Harden's face in my mind with the big beard and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, I don't understand basketball very well, but I know that putting them together doesn't work because there's only one ball, and in hockey, there's only one puck. Who's taking the shots?
Okay, how about what if we do some manipulation and slot Bailey down a line and Oliver Wahlstrom up a line?
I'm all okay with that. That has worked, right? The Beauvillier, Pageau, Wahlstrom line has worked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? Actually, I could bring up these numbers while I'm here. Pageau, and then we got Bailey, and then Oliver Wahlstrom, and then submit, not to do the game logs. Come on, Mitch, with or without. So together they have, that's weird. Oh, whoops, I put Bailey instead of Beauvillier. Come on, rookie mistake here. All right, 77 minutes of time on ice. That's 5-on-5. Corsi, 44. Expected goals, 448. Scoring chances, 40. High danger chances, 50. So not very good. That is not good.
Yeah, not good, but I guess, I don't know, they passed the eye test numbers.
They passed the eye. There was a while, right, when Oliver Wahlstrom was scoring that this was going well, but the second he started drying up, this started going down south quickly. So I think we've got ourselves a backup Pageau line is what we've got.
Okay.
But I think what we're coming to here is that you have to find a way to get Oliver Wahlstrom in the lineup. You have to find a way. If that means Michael Dalcol is out, sorry, Michael, you're out. although I don't trust Trotz to do that.
No. He loves Mike Mendoza.
Well, the game he played against the Rangers, it was great. The way he was breaking up passes, he should have had a goal. Oh my God, that puck should have gone in, but it didn't. It was just a fraction of an inch too high. That's going to keep him in the lineup another game, I'm sure.
I know, but my issue is, and like Barry Trotz tried to do the thing where like he dunks on people when he talked about like Leo Komarov, the fantasy hockey line, and then like the Leo and Michael Dal Cole fans try to do that too, but they have like this one good game, and then that like they ride that for like, I don't know, a 10 game stretch. You could have 9 games in a row that are either bad or okay. And then another good game, and it's like, oh, see, you got to have them in the lineup. And it's like, well, what about the other 9 games where they're a traffic cone? How about that?
Right? And they're going, well, the analytics don't speak to it. And you're going, I know, trust me, I know the analytics don't speak to them, and or not don't speak to them, but their analytics aren't very good. But that's the problem. When you have a guy up on the top line whose analytics and underlying numbers aren't good, that's a problem because his ability to generate chances isn't good, but he's playing in a primarily generate chances role. That you can't do that. I understand hearts and guts matter, but like put him in a hearts and guts role then.
Yeah, no doubt, which is what we were saying. We're fine with Leo on line 4. I'd be fine with Michael Dal Cole on line 4. But they're not being put in those roles. They're putting in middle 6 roles, which is not good. Or top 6 roles for Leo Komarov at times.
And that's just it. And I know, like people say, well, you're not a coach. You're not an NHL coach. Yes, that is absolutely true. It's just when you look at it, you see it's not really working. And then you look at, it's just a confirmation bias. Like you look at everything, you go like, it just makes sense. It just makes sense not to put him out there in that role for what he brings to the table.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I just wanted to get some lineup talk in there. Anything else on the lineups you wanted to get into?
What about defense briefly? Like, do we ever see Braden Coburn again unless there's an injury?
I hope not.
I don't think so. As much as like, I think they found out that they've got 3 guys that they can put in the lineup to play 12 to 15 minutes in Noah Dobson, Thomas Hickey, and Braden Coburn. And I only lumped Noah Dobson in there because that's what they're doing with him. I think there's greater potential in him than that.
Yeah, I definitely think so too on that. But the Green Coburn pairing did not look good.
No, it was not good. So I would imagine he sticks with those 6 the rest of the way.
Yeah, unless, like you said, unless there's an injury.
And even then, I feel like it's Dobson 6, Hickey 7, Coburn 8.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It would surprise me if it would be the other way, specifically with Hickey and Coburn, but I guess we'll see, or hopefully we don't have to see.
I agree. Hopefully we don't have to see is right. So
right.
Let's get into down on the farm. What do you got for us prospect-wise this week?
Arnaud Durandeau is absolutely killing it right now.
Oh, we love that.
My man has 6 points over the last 4 games at the AHL level for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. He was a healthy scratch most of the year. He's only played 10 games this year, wow, but already has 7 points. He played 21 games last year and had 8. So just consider this. Like I said, 6 in 4 games. He's played a total of 31 games, has 15 points. That means 40% of his production at the AHL level has come over the last 4 games.
Wow. Oh my God. When you put it like that, that really hits home. Like, wow.
Right? Again, like this guy wasn't being used in like a top 6 role. He played in the ECHL most of the year last year. But this kid's got something. I'm not going to say he's NHL talent. He's going to make it someday. I hope he does. And he could very well, he might very well do it if he keeps on this pace.
Of course.
But so far, so good. He's playing in an offensive role with offensive players in Dmytro Timoshov and Otto Koivula. And it's working. He's playing on the power play. He's not a small kid either, right? He's 6'1", 181. So he's not huge, but he's not small. He's using his size well. He's skating well. He's getting into areas. He's just doing everything right. And it's working, man. It's really working, and it's nice to see.
Yeah, no, it definitely is nice to see. And I'm happy to see him finally get that opportunity. That's the key part.
That's the key part. It seems that they even made room for him, right? They moved out 2 guys and it was Brett Newman and Yannick Turcotte that were loaned to other ECHL teams. And once they did that, that was on the 13th. And since the 13th, that's when he started putting points, right? Okay. Like he hadn't played before the 13th. The last game was on April 2nd. And then he steps in the lineup on the 13th, 2 points. 15th, nothing. 17th, 2 points. 20th, 2 points. Like, the guy is just putting up buckets, maybe not buckets, but like points, since having a solid spot in the lineup. So, like, clearly something's going well with Girondeau.
Yeah, totally. And that's exactly what you want to see. So that's very good news. I like to hear that.
It sucks that it's coming near the end of the year. There's only, like, I think 7 games left in the Sound Tigers season. So, like, oh, well. Next, I want to keep on the AHL because there's a couple of things here. I don't think that Colin Adams will play for them this year just because of how many games are left.
Only 7. That's right.
Yeah, so like they have him signed to next year, and they've done this with a few prospects where they've signed them to ATO, so that's AHL trial contracts, to play this year, to get them in now. They don't end up burning a year off the contract. I don't think that's going to happen just because of how many games are left on the season. It's still possible. I just don't think it's likely.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you on that. I would say unlikely.
And I'm kind of edging the same way with Anatoly Golishev. Last I heard or seen, he's still in Russia. Like, when you look at his Instagram, he's still out in Russia.
Yeah, then how is he going to make it back to play 7 games?
Exactly. Is it even 7? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sorry, it's 5 games.
Okay, yeah, he's not playing. There's no way.
I don't think it's going to happen unless he's now on a flight and over. I know he's trying. It's not like he's dilly-dallying because he doesn't want to play in the AHL. He's just waiting on visa stuff, like that the visa isn't getting processed because of, well, in the times we live in right now. And it's just not getting done quickly enough. So he's got to get that done. Once he gets here, he's going to have, I would imagine, a 7-10-day quarantine before he gets out there. Mm-hmm. So like they don't play till the 24th. So if we're looking at, let's say he lands today, 10 days out, so we're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 7, 8, 9, 10. We're looking at May 1st. They'll have 2 games left on the year, May 3rd and May 4th.
So maybe 2 games?
Maybe. That's if he lands today.
Best case scenario, 2 games.
That's right. So I don't think it's happening for Anatoly Golishev at the AHL level. They've loaned him out there. I know that for a fact, that he is being loaned to the AHL because they want him to go there. Lou has said as much. I think once the season's done, he's joining the Islanders on their like expanded taxi squad type of thing.
Yeah, probably. That would make sense.
So, although we'll see how that goes. I don't know how they're going to be able to bring all these people, because then you also have Robin Salo that they're bringing along. So, although I guess that means Austin Zarnik, peace out. Grant Hutton, goodbye. Although goodbye. I guess maybe Thomas Hickey, I guess, even at that point.
Yeah, maybe Hickey.
Although we talked about him being number 7. So
I don't know.
Interesting stuff going ahead. And last prospect I wanted to bring up was Matias Rajaniemi, who isn't playing right now. I don't know what the heck's going on with him. I've reached out to the team twice now. They haven't reached out to me, so I'm going to reach out to the player individually now. And ask him, like, hey, buddy, can you tell me what's going on? Because your team won't tell me. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if they're keeping him out for health reasons. I don't know if it's an injury. Usually they've told me throughout the year when they've kept him out, if it's either injury or if it's a squad rotation. I think they're just sticking with the squad rotation routine, which is fine, but I'd like to know.
Yeah, that would be good info to know. We just have no idea right now. Just waiting game, I guess.
Exactly. Like, this is a 19-year-old prospect. Their team's in the playoffs. The series is tied 1-1 with TPS, who has Russian Lyshkov playing with them. Mm-hmm. But, like, so maybe they don't want to play him because he's young, he can make mistakes, and, like, things are tight right now. But they've played him all year, and now all of a sudden, like, sorry, bud, we're going to drop you. That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm with you on that.
So that was the last one I really wanted to bring up. Is there anyone that you wanted to go over?
No, I'm good with that. It's good to know what's going on in the AHL. I know it's been a tough year for the Sound Tigers, but excited for Girondeau to finally be getting some action over there.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in 3 days if he keeps it up. If he doesn't score, don't please, people, just chill out. But, like, things are going well for him, so, like, let's keep this up, please.
Absolutely. Let's get into the quiz.
As we do every week, I have a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, to guess. You have 5 clues. They get progressively easier as we go along. It is episode 192, so already you know it has something to do with that. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Clue number 1. I was a first-round pick by the New York Islanders. That's all you get.
That could be anybody. All right, next.
That could be a lot of people, yep. 2. I signed seemingly minutes before the deadline that would have allowed me to re-enter the draft. Mm-hmm. It's clue two, so they're not as...
Next, okay.
All right, three. I scored 39 points in my rookie year before eventually becoming a 97-point player after getting traded.
97-point player after getting traded.
So his rookie year, 39 points. That was with the Islanders. And then he went somewhere else, and he scored 97 points there eventually. I forget exactly what year it was.
Okay, next.
Four, my nephew currently plays for the Detroit Red Wings.
Next.
Five, I'm well known for an on-ice incident where I was charged with assault against Steve Moore.
I don't know.
Todd Bertuzzi.
Bertuzzi should have gave that away. Okay. So, obviously, a much better career after leaving the Islanders.
Oh, 100%. Like, that year, he had 46 goals. 46!
I would take that in a second. 46 goals? That would have been nice to have. Yeah.
So, they hadn't signed him after the draft, and I think it was 2 years out, because he's a first-round pick. If you don't sign them within... Or I think it's even a year. I think if you don't sign your first-round pick after a year, they're allowed to go back into the draft and get redrafted. And the Islanders were like, even if he does, we're taking him with the second overall pick, baby. Which is would have been stupid. Awful, right?
Yeah, stupid. He played for the Islanders for 3 years. I see.
Yeah, and then they traded him to Vancouver.
Okay, there you go. And 23rd overall pick.
Yeah, and then they would have made him a second overall pick afterwards.
So stupid. So dumb.
But that's it. So Todd Bertuzzi was episode 192 because he has 192 games played with the Islanders.
There you go. With that, let's get into some of the social stuff. What's going on around the Isles Twitter, Mitch?
My first one here comes from Matt. Not you, but another Matt. There's a lot of Matts around. It's at Space Monkey saying, this is a Butch Goren quote. Albert never had us practice the power play. Never. He would say, if you can't score with an extra guy, my God, let me start over. Al never had us practice the power play. Never. He would say, if you can't score with an extra guy out there, I can't help you. Why can't I say that properly? There's nothing tricky in that sentence, but my tongue's like, screw you. Blah.
It's okay. It happens. You're like the Islanders on the power play. You just can't get it done for some reason. Can't execute.
But how about that? Like, we're not going to practice it because I trust that if we have one extra guy out there, you can get something done with that.
You would think.
And like, I know coaching has changed since the 1970s going into the 1990s. I know that. You're right. You have zone entry schemes and stuff. But that doesn't seem to work for the Islanders. They don't seem to know what the hell to do on the power play.
No, more often than not. Only maybe 15% of the time.
I think it's like 17 or whatever, but yeah, point well taken.
Brutal. My first one comes from Brian Compton, and it says, it's really happening, you guys, and it's a picture of the first two seats at Belmont Arena.
With an Islanders logo on them, right?
That looks beast. I love it.
Just think about that. The seats have a logo of the Islanders on it. Now, think of... the Barclay Center. I was almost going to call it just the Brooklyn Center, and I know that's not the case. Think of the Barclay Center. When you walk into that building, or let alone sit at your seat, forget the fact that there's an Islanders logo on the ice. Like, that's a given. You don't see anything Islanders-related anywhere. Here it is on the seat. That's incredible.
Yeah, I like it. And it's a sleek-looking seat also. Like, it's black, which I think is perfect. I wouldn't go any other color. But the logo on the side looks nice.
It looks cozy. I can't wait to put my tuckus in one.
Yes, please.
My second one here comes from Alex Panagatis. I think I pronounced that right. I'm sorry. Or Alexis, sorry. I already screwed it up.
Oh, boy.
At LPA Panagatis. Screwed that up. Anyways, appreciation tweet for Ilya Sorokin. And it's a picture of Sorokin. Full splits, just like going cross ice trying to stop a puck. And my groin shatters looking at that. This is just routine. Him like... Da, 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 da.
I don't know how... I really genuinely don't understand how he is that flexible, to be completely honest with you. I wouldn't be able to go halfway down to that.
I don't want to even try because it would be embarrassing for me and Ilya Sorokin by just trying to replicate what he's doing there. It's just not, I would never be a good goalie for that and that alone.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that, I think. My next one comes from the Islanders Twitter account, and it comes after their 1-0 win against the Philadelphia Flyers. And it says, Isles 3 stars of the game. And it's a picture. Star 1 is Ilya Sorokin. Star 2 is Nick Leddy. And star 3 is Leo Komarov. And if you look under Sorokin, it says Y, 30 save shutout. Star 2, Nick Leddy, overtime winner. But then star 3, Leo Komarov, if you zoom in closely, it says best uncle under Leo Komarov. There's no way, unless you want to read the fine print, which you got to zoom way into. There you go.
That's incredible. That is excellent social content. That is excellent. We need more of that, please. The Islanders have to have an identity, even in when it comes to the social content, please.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just stock content. I think we all appreciate just not, it's not even attitude. It's just kind of like fun.
Yeah, just have a fun a little bit. That's cool.
Beauty. My last one here comes from Mike Amodio. God, I can't pronounce anyone's name today. I'm sorry, Mike. Mike Amodio, PGA, is his Twitter handle, saying, Rangers Twitter, dirty hit, dirty hit. Isles Twitter, Trouba just got bambied. I like that, bambied.
Bambied, yeah, he did. His legs were not working very well.
And it's true, right? Like, you see a lot of that. What a dirty hit. That's charging. That's 10-minute game misconduct. And you're going like, it's a big hit. And it sucks that Trouba seems shaken up by it and it isn't going to be playing at least the next game and could be day-to-day with what seems like a concussion. That sucks. But this is full shoulder-to-shoulder. There's no charging. He let up, right? Like, he glided into the hit from the face-off dot. Like, that is not charging. There's no launching. It's a fair and it's not a dirty hit. They're going to be chanting Martin sucks for the next 40 years after this one.
Maybe. Quite possibly, yeah.
Just it's great stuff. It changed the tide of the game. That hit changed everything.
It sounded like a, for lack of a better, like a gunshot went off when he hit the boards. That's how loud it was.
Yeah, and like think about it. He let up. Let up on the hit. That was Tom Wilson. He'd explode through the glass.
Yeah, he would have, half the boards would have fell down.
So, like, that was a good hit, fair hockey hit. It sucks that Trouba is injured, but, like, the difference between the two reactions to the same event is incredible.
Yeah, very jarring reactions on one side, for sure. So with that, before we go, let's get some plugs in here. So wherever you are listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating and review. That really helps us out a lot, and we appreciate all the love and support. You can also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/eyesonisles. For $5 a month, you can get a post-game show after every single game. You can get a mailbag show, which we're about to record. You can also get a great community of Islanders fans, pregame predictions, and a whole lot of fun going on over there. Right, Mitch?
Absolutely. Like you said, we're just about to do the mailbag. There are 15 questions to get to, so that's going to be a decently sized mailbag today, buddy.
Absolutely. Social media, Twitter, at Eyes on Isles FS. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary, NY. Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You could also check out the Fansided app and get our content through there or on the website, eyesonisles.com, for all your New York Islanders needs.
And don't forget to go to earthechofoods.com/minutemedia, enter code MINUTE15 to get your chocolate or buy some chocolate mix and get yourself some chocolate drinks.
There you go. That's going to do it for us on episode 192. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.